Him. He is Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, good morning. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. And thank you so much for all the prayers. If you lifted up for Brooke and Davey and little Adelaide Rose. And God was laughing as I was rushing out of here last Sunday to get back to the hospital for that birth. It was about 3:70 a.m. Monday morning. You know, God's in control. Amen. But thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for Brooke's blood pressure. That's the reason they had to induce labor. And Adelaide's numbers are coming down. Some issues. Sometimes you're born a little early. But everything's looking good. So just continue to pray. And I tell you, praise God. This grandpa thing is about, so far, twice as good as y'all told me it was. Amen? Amen. Pray for my dear wife. Now, she's been trying to, Adelaide has taken over their home in complete control and loves to party all night. So Sandra's been staying up, sleeping. Me and Hilton get about bedtime. We go home and we get in bed. That's what grandpas do. Amen? Amen? And I can't imagine. Some of you have a bunch of grandkids. I can imagine how great that is. Some of you are new grandpas in the house today. Some of you getting ready to be grandpa, but it's a good deal. I'm telling you, it's a great, great deal. So just thinking, Hilton, that little girl has got Hilton wrapped around her. I'd hate to try to date her one day. I think it'll be easier to get through Davy and it will be Hilton. But we love that little baby. All of you have noticed the pictures and heard about just the tragedy there around Gatlinburg with the fires. At even one point, Rick had gone up to the mountains to help in some of those fires in the area. Just a terrible, terrible. Just the number of homes that had been destroyed. The area of a great number were killed. Those families and so. Some of you may have already helped in some way, and you know, our hearts are always to give because you never outgive Jesus, but kind of got a different opportunity here. It's always wonderful to help, but even more wonderful we have a connection, and kind of got a connection with a single mom and child who have lost everything in the fire, and the connection is with Susie, and I want to just give her a chance to come up, and what she's going to do is just briefly let you know about the need, what's going on, and then in the coming days and weeks, because I know the need will be long, maybe God's kind of allow us to, as you may help in other ways, maybe we can kind of come alongside this mom and child and love on them, especially during this Christmas time as they've lost everything in the fire. So you come up and share just a moment, if you would.
I always thought losing a child would be the worst thing that could ever, ever happen to you. And I've walked that path. However, to stop and think that someone knocks on your door and you have 8 minutes to get out and you watch a rolling fire destroy everything that you ever had, every memory, every piece of clothes, everything. And I have a good friend that stood by me when I was going through such a terrible, terrible time. Her brother and sister-in-law live in that area, and their house was spared from the fire. The fire was behind them, but praise God, the rains came and the fires were stopped and their house was spared. But they have a mother, a single mom, and she has a daughter. Her name is Layla. The mom's name is Autumn. And they lost everything. Many of you are friends with me on Facebook, and I posted the picture of the mom and her daughter and the house that was burnt to the ground. I have printed out a paper up here that has the child's sizes. The mom is just so overwhelmed with, she just hates to ask for anything, so she hasn't released her sizes yet. However, praise God that he just laid all this on my heart, because I have cried all week for just this family. But there's so many others. But if we can take one family and do something to help them in the form of a gift card from Walmart, because there's a Walmart in that area, or if you would like to buy one gift for the child, her sizes are there. And if you will, my phone number's on this piece of paper. If you want to bring them to the church, I'll pick them up here. I will make sure that they get to that family. In the coming weeks, there may be another presentation presented. They're working on a mission to buy one set of mattresses and box springs, sheets, and everything to go with that. Furniture Factory Outlet World in Waxhaw has agreed to purchase all of these mattresses and box springs at their cost, and they have three tractor-trailer trucks lined up already to take it to these areas. These people don't even have beds to sleep on. And so they're going to ask the area churches if anyone's interested in giving to just donate one set of bedding and everything. So when I get that information, I'll pass that along. I know that there's another load of things going next week. Lee Park Baptist Church has donated a shipment of Bibles. Another church donated some hymnals that they took last week. So not only do we think about just the homes being destroyed, but the churches were too. So if you feel led to help in any way with this one family, please just get with me, or like I said, you can get with Jeff. You can leave it on the front pew, and I will personally either make sure it gets in the next load that goes, or I will personally mail it myself. I thank you. I love each one of you, and I know what a giving heart this church has, and I wouldn't be up here right now if God hadn't laid this on my heart to do this. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's pause and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how blessed we are, Lord, to wake up in our homes this morning, Lord, and just the clothes we have on our back. And so, Lord, just pray for each and every family that's been impacted. Many have lost everything. Some have lost loved ones. And there's great needs. Thank you so much, Lord, for the firefighters and the EMTs and the police and all, Lord, that have been there or continue to be there, and all that they've gone through and all they've given, sacrificed. And I thank you for just your hand, Lord. And we give you this family, Lord, this dear mom and child. And Lord, help us just to wrap our arms around them and in a way reach out with the love of Jesus, Lord, and just provide needs, Lord, that we'll never know how you'll use it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for that hurting heart now this morning, Lord, something maybe we're not aware of, something physically, emotionally, financially that's going on in someone's heart here. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just comfort them and touch them. And Lord, that you'd reveal in your timing and your way, Lord, that we might just continue through Jesus and all he's given us to be able to continue to give and share. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19, beginning in verse 1. Luke 19 and verse 1. If you're physically able, join me, and let's honor the reading of God's Word. Luke 19 in verse 1. Luke 19 in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, thank you, dear Lord, for sending your only Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that all these years you've continued to seek and save. I thank you, Lord, for seeking me out and saving me. I thank you, Lord, for seeking out and saving each one that's here in your house that's given their life to you. I pray especially this morning for that one, Lord, that you're seeking to save today. Lord, that you just stir that heart. Lord, I pray that you remind us all, Lord, that when Jesus comes to live inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we have that same mission, that same purpose, to seek to share the gospel so that you might save others. Lord, I pray you'd burden our hearts for the lost. You'd give us a passion for what Jesus came for. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If I had to title this message, I'd simply call it Jesus Came. You know, what a powerful message. And we're not really going to look at the details, the background necessarily of Zacchaeus and his story. I smile now. I almost laughed out several times in preparing this message. Our focus this morning is on the fact that Jesus did come. As we begin to, as we celebrate daily, amen, and every Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came and he's coming again. But as we move toward that day of Christmas and this all special year where Christmas it falls on the Lord's Day, it's going to be on Christmas Day. I mentioned last Sunday, I'll mention again, we're going to gather here that morning. We're not going to have Sunday school, but at the 10 o'clock hour, so an hour earlier than if you came at 11, at 10 a.m., between 10 and 11, we're going to have our worship time, and I encourage you to make plans to come. I really encourage you to begin to reach out now and begin to invite someone to come with you or some family. And you may say, "Now, preacher, that can be a difficult sale because it's Christmas Day and there's Christmas plans." But I believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and if we'll pray as a church and that God will go with us, we invite. I believe there's some families that God would have to come on that Sunday, and perhaps that would be the Sunday on Christmas Day they'd receive that ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. So don't give up and realize there is a challenge. There's nothing worth going after that's not a challenge and a battle, but be about inviting. Make your plans. Our hope is that gives you time in the morning with your children. Come over here. We're going to worship Jesus, lift him up, celebrate that he came, what a gift he is, and then you'll be back on to your lunchtime plans. But be inviting. Make it personal to be inviting to come. Like me, I already know some that I'm going to be inviting to come next Sunday and the Sunday after, so then they'll have to be here on Christmas Day. Amen. But Jesus came, and it's just an awesome time to think about Christmas and what it means and what's going on. And it's an awesome time to remember, and what my smiles came from, but were sometime years ago, and I can't remember the past, but a long, long time ago, God had really taken us here to Luke 19 and began to look at that story of Zacchaeus. It's a wonderful story. It's a familiar story. But I was reminded again today, this week, as I was reading in this passage, in this chapter, man, it is just packed. It is just full of images of us and sin in our life and not seeing Jesus and Jesus coming into our lives and all that Jesus does. And so we began to go in, and you often I'll do this, I'll have a message lined out, and that message will really turn into more messages, and we had just really camped out, really believe about God had us camp out. And it's amazing, some church folks, and I'm not talking about people really fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ that love Jesus, care about laws, but church folks, as churches are full, often house church folks. And anything church folks say, they ultimately get back to the preacher. And during that time, someone made the comment that the preacher seemed to just be having this terrible time of getting Zacchaeus out of that tree. We'd remain there, and I'd heard that comment, and I couldn't help but laugh and think today, my goodness, I'm telling you, I wasn't trying to get Zacchaeus out of the tree. I was trying to get that person that made the comment, me and the other people, up into the tree so they could see Jesus better, amen, and so Jesus could show up at their house. So once again, I was reminded, and we could go on and on about Zacchaeus, but I do want us to focus on those verses 9 and 10. They're very important in Zacchaeus. The story of him is important because of what led us to Jesus making some statements that are really ultimately important if we're going to understand that God's focus, God's purpose, Jesus' purpose, and our purpose as a church to focus on the lost. I've read one that I admire and respect often. There's an evangelist, Bailey Smith. He was a pastor for years. God called him into evangelism. He actually wrote a book entitled Real Evangelism, and I agree with his statement because I believe all throughout Scripture it backs up, and in his book he made this statement. He said that Christians, us folks who know Jesus, we love Jesus, we're thankful we're saved, but when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to sharing the gospel, witnessing, telling people about Jesus, we lean 180 degrees away from it. It's almost as if all we do in our lives in church will lean absolutely 180 degrees away from the lost and what we're here for. I mean, we've got, you know, we love the church and we love singing and we love decorations and we love Sunday school and we love giving and we love all those things, but we run out of time for focusing on the lost. And so everything that God is trying to do, and I think in this passage, these verses, he wants to lean us the 180 degrees all the way to the other side of life and to leave. And that's I think our prayer should be that we get away from some of those things that so take us away, and God will put us over and lean us so far, we kind of, Christmas and the trappings of the world become dim, and we just find ourselves over alone, away from all the stuff, and we just begin to think, man, there's lost people all around us. It's really on my heart is I was listening to the choir leaders and choir members and children's leaders and children. You know, it's always, man, it's a special time. It's a work time. It's a hectic time to put together anything for Christmas. This year, the two come together. It brings unique challenge. And as I heard about that, and I wasn't asking anything, I began to talk about practice times and this, and I began to think, my goodness. So we're going to practice on Wednesday night, you know, with the children and everything. And I said, get in the sanctuary. And somebody kind of looked at me and said, well, y'all were in the sanctuary. I said, man, no. If I was a child, I want to practice where I'm going to stand. I want to practice somewhere and then come try to do something. So I said, we'll take prayer time and Bible study or the fellowship hall. They can practice. And believe y'all had a wonderful time on Wednesday, and they're going to do it again this Wednesday. I'll tell you what, we had an awesome time on the fellowship hall. I mentioned Sunday in my message about being at the Gideon breakfast, and as it got to the end of the breakfast, the men moved their chairs out, and we kneeled down at our chairs and began to pray. Well, that's kind of, we lined up over there, and after we did prayer requests and talk, we all got, and I just had to look. Sometimes preachers got to look, amen. And I said, I wonder how many more people are kneeling in this setting than back the way. Almost everybody was kneeling there. We just had one reason we had an awesome time of prayer is, and not because we're meeting over there and trying to do something special. Nothing apart from just my time in God's Word. Man, God had given me, I think coming out of our weeks of looking at Scripture about listening to God, and then last Sunday about, you know, just prayer that shakes, and I'm preaching at y'all, and I'm getting on y'all about, have you prayed an hour like Jesus asked, prayed all night? And it was for me. It's because God had got over me. But during that time, God began to burden my heart so much for the lost. So instead of starting off our prayer time, as we all always do, with all the many prayer needs we had, we started off with the lost. And, man, I've got my list here. It was my notes I have for the message. But we just started going around the circle, and we had an awesome Wednesday night, because I know there's a lot of you over here working to serve God in practice, but we had many over there, and I mean, just the number. There was Kenny and Kaylee and Alan and Jimmy and a son and Scott and Mandy and WR and Bertha and Terry and Mitchell and Preston and a family and Mark and Addison and Donna and Jerry and Jerry's 70. Brother of someone, Ed and Chuck, cousin Ann, Bruce, Anas, Felicia, Ryan, Bruce, Mindy. I was just Wednesday night. We took a moment for any prayer request, and those were just lost people that came to mind. People who don't know Jesus. People who can have the most beautiful tree and decorated home and presents and do everything at most of Christmas. But they're lost. I mentioned, and I'm praying for you deer hunters more than I ever have before now. Men and women, I know there's women deer hunters, but I'm praying. Y'all need to get after it. Y'all need to get busy because, man, I got me a 6-point buck the other night, and I don't hunt. And but the Highway Patrolman came, and I told this to the Wednesday night group. I said, Highway Patrolman came, and he said, man, I'm glad you hit that deer. You know, he drives up in a much better mood than I usually ever see a Highway Patrolman. You all right? How you doing? I'm like, well, about as good as you can do after you hit a deer and ruin your vehicle. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, I'm glad you hit it. He said, you can't believe how many people who swerve to miss a squirrel or deer, and they tow the car out, they get hurt. I'm sorry, I'm thinking, I've been standing outside for a long time waiting, you know, a lot of time with God, and I'm thinking, man, how often something happens in life, can be good or bad. And man, we make a choice, we swerve. I mean, we just, man, a total life change, amen? And we get in a mess. Then he said this, Rick, he said, and I'd heard about this. I know how long it had been, because he said, three years ago, he said he went to a wreck. He said a lady had hit a deer. He'd come through the windshield, and the antler had gored her, and she bled to death. So I've already got a lost list. Years ago, I realized my prayer list was out of control. If you're really praying, if you really want to become a prayer and a prayer warrior for God, your prayer list will get out of control. There's no way you can pray for everything. And so I began to break things down by day. And I call Saturday salvation. I said, I'm going to pray for souls on Saturday by name, praying though Angela will be at church Sunday and praying about those things. And so Wednesday were those names. And so all I can think about since Wednesday is those names. People that simply could be riding down the road at night and could have a wreck with a deer, something that should kill, have a heart attack, Dennis, you know, and die. They're lost without Jesus. And then we're reminded here, and look with me there in Luke 19, there in verse 10, when it really gives us why he came, why we celebrate Christmas, why he came, and because that's what Christmas is. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate the day he came on earth, and it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. And folks, that's why we're still here. So our focus should be on the lost. So really, kind of, and we got weeks not to our other prayer requests, and they're important. But I'm telling you, I pray God will not only this coming Wednesday on the fellowship, but every Wednesday we're going to begin to focus more and more on the lost. Now I want you to join me in focusing on that, because I'm telling you, folks, lost people, when they die, they go to hell and are eternally separated from God. And every one of us, we've got family members, and we've got friends, and we've got work, people, co-workers and employees, and all these people surrounding us, or there's this lost thing to be. As old Bill Slade would say, we love evangelists, he'd say, lost as a ball in tall grass. I mean, just don't know Jesus. And we have to pray for them, and we have to reach out to them, and we have to care about the lost, because we lean 180 degrees toward, my goodness, and I have those days to, listen, I'm preaching to myself. Corey, I have those days where I think there's been so much church stuff and so much family stuff, and now I'm a new grandpa, so I'm going to do that grandpa stuff, and all these things going on. Jessica had a wreck this week also, and I called her, check on her, and I said, and pray for her soreness and all, and I said, and we'll just pray for one another and join one another as we go through this insurance and body shop journey, amen? I mean, I'm thankful for insurance and thankful for the body shop, but it's an interruption, and it can be a hassle, amen? But all around us, we all these distractions, and what's gonna be pushed to the side? What's going to be pushed to the side is the things that Satan wants to push to the side, and we're going to miss the purpose. Turn forward a little bit to John 3:16. Now that's for me. Some of you can quote it. But John 3:16, I want us to look at three things about him coming right quick this morning, the time we have. The fact that Jesus came. But first of all, I want us to look in John 3:16 and one other John passage and understand that Jesus came to give life, okay? Jesus came to give life. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God gave his only Son, Jesus, to give us life. So it was Jesus' life in exchange for ours. Now quickly turn to John 10:10. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You've probably got it highlighted. If you don't, you're probably going to mark it, highlight it, or highlight when you get home. But you, John 10:10 shows us, paints this picture of what he came to do. John 10:10, the Bible says, Jesus says, really, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So what a picture in the Bible. Jesus is saying, hey, I came. The reason I came is I came to give you life. See, Satan, that thief in the world and all around us, there's this substitute life. It's that worldly life. It's the life that the majority of the people live, because the Bible says that it's a narrow way and few be that find it. So there's all these types. And you look around. Man, you look around, and sometimes Santa and I talk, call me, and she'll say, how can somebody live in such a worldly life and not care about God or care about anybody else? How can they be so blessed? Because they're living that life that's only going to last for a period of time. And I tell you, God's not the only one in the blessing business. I tell you, another one is that thief, and what he wants to do is steal that life that Jesus came to give, but he will bless, if you would, in a twisted and evil. He blesses people's lives. He's the prince of the air. He's in control, so he's about giving. So we continually, 180 degree shift, have to talk and remind people that Jesus came to give life, and only the life he gives is a life that will truly last for all eternity. Now, listen, souls last for eternity, and a soul will last and will be alive in hell forever, but that's not life. That the Bible calls, that's what death is. With Jesus, when you die, I think I said this Wednesday night, if I fall dead of a heart attack later today, get killed in a wreck going home, and somebody calls you up, or you see posted on Facebook, or you get a Twitter that says Preacher Jeff is dead, you quickly respond back, or you post back. No, he's more alive today than he's ever been. Because Jesus came, and when he came, he gave me life, life that can never be taken away. Amen. And I think I was overwhelmed even studying this week about that he saved me. I was lost one day, and he saved me. I know it well. I can take you to the church I grew up in, and it's about in this section right here, and I'm about right over here, and it's dinner revival, and I'm holding on to the pew. And hey, my mom and daddy raised me in church. I knew at home what it meant to be lost. I learned in Sunday school as a little boy what it meant to be lost. And I learned from preachers what it meant to be lost, and I knew that. And so I was 10 years old. It's 1974, and I know that I'm lost. Thank God, David, I knew I was lost. Thank you, Mama and Daddy. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. Thank you, preachers. Thank you, choir that sang the songs. Thank you, Tim Special Music, that told me. And he saved me. I can't get over that because I know how wicked inside, as the Bible says, there's no good thing in me. Why did he come save me? Why did he save you? It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's why we celebrate Christ. He came. Man, and so what happens often to us is we get over it. We get over it. Because I'm telling you, that I'll never forget that. There was an excitement, and there was a peace, and there was something going on that I can't describe. And it could only be the Holy Spirit. And I remember going, and there was just a release to go forward, and I never forget the visiting preacher connected me with Miss Ruth Stigall. Miss Ruth Stigall, for years, has served at our church as a faithful member. We went in the little back room of the church, and she had her big old King James Bible, Scofield Bible, and she opened it up, and she was sharing Jesus. And I'm telling you, something was happening. I mean, she was taking me to Jesus so that Jesus, because he had come and he was born on a Christmas like we celebrate this week, and he died on the cross, that he was going to save me like he saved many of you. And I mean, something was going on. So much that when the preacher walks in, and I've already, in that simple prayer of faith, that's how you open the gift of Jesus. I'd already accepted Jesus Christ. And I remember the preacher comes in. He just wanted to help out. He wanted to give a little illustration. He had a nice shiny dime in his hand, and he wanted to share with me how simple it was to receive Christ. And so I already been saved, though, okay? And I remember, part of this is against my daddy, any of my stomachs, he tries to hand me that dime. You know what I told him? I said, I don't want your money. He just wanted to give a little example, but I said, I don't want that. And see, that's kind of the picture of what God keeps telling us. We don't want, that was a pretty good example he's going to give me, but we don't want what the world's got to offer. Once Jesus comes, and really, because I really, listen, folks, If you can only say, well I've kind of always known him. And I kind of grew up in church. And I got baptized one time. I'm going to say this honestly. I'll be based on the authority of God's word. And I give my personal. I believe that you know when you got saved. And if you don't know that day, and you don't know that time, you don't know that place where Jesus saved you, you might not be saved, you might be lost, and you need to get saved today. Amen? This is as simple as that. It's not complicated at all. So we find here that he came to give us, he says, I come to give life. In Luke 2, and you only have to turn there, you'll recognize these words in Luke 2. It's the story of Jesus coming. The Bible says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And folks, that picture, Jesus had came. He came. He was born through Mary the Virgin. And there they are in that stable. And there he is in that manger. He's come. And the Bible notes and points out there that there was no room for him in the inn. And that's the problem we deal with. Too many days, y'all. Too many days, there's not any room for him in our life. He just don't get on the calendar. There's not room for the lost, Sherry. Beyond, I'm preaching to myself. I'm confessing. How many days for every one of us, there's no room for the lost? I mean, my goodness, preacher, you don't know, you understand my life. How hard work is, how much time the children take, what's going on, even the demands of the church and all the things you've already told us through the scripture. But so often there's just not room. Amen? And so I think what Jesus was reminding us this morning of the scripture, he said, listen, make room. Make room for Jesus. Make room for that abundant life, he says in verse 10. But I'm telling you, there's no life like it. I've seen people, I mean, they're not far from dying, okay? And their life is far more abundant than the most healthy person walking the face of the earth. I mean, I'm talking about joy and peace. And I've literally been someone that within the hour, they would lay down, they were sitting on the edge of the bed. They would lay down within the hour and go on to be with Jesus. And the first thing they did is when I walked in the room, they were asking about, how are you doing, preacher? How's your family doing? He had room at the point of physically getting ready to go home. There was nothing left inside of him. And he has still got room to care about other people. And we've got to make room. Amen? There was not room for Jesus. And that's not by chance. We could go on and on because we continue. This preacher and you sitting there, we continually just don't have room. And I want to make some more room for the lost. Amen? Would you like during this Christmas time to really be excited, not just through Christmas, but into January 1, just, hey, I've got room for the lost. You remember what they said and why I think God took us that path about Zacchaeus? The religious people, the church folks, the good folks of the community, they looked at Jesus and said, look at him. There he is going to that sinner's house. It reminded me, and just in closing, it reminded me that too often we don't have room in our daily schedule. We don't have room in the week. We just don't have room in our life to reach out to a lost and dying world, to reach out to people living in sin. Something tells me as you read that passage, there's no indication that Jesus told Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you're one of the sorriest sinners I know. Get out of that tree. If you don't get out of that tree and I get to your house, you're going to hell. He didn't say that at all, did he? He said, oh, he cared about Zacchaeus. And all he said basically was this, Cam. He said, today, I'm going to go to your house. Would you bow with me for a moment, every head bowed, every ear closed? I just wonder how many houses you know, it says in that verse preceding of this verse 9, it says there that salvation had come to his house because Jesus came. Some of you know that house near you or somewhere in the community, somewhere on the work. You know, it's that house where the sinners live. Now, some, it's a mess because of their sin. And for others, the house is beautiful, wonderful, kept. But it's a house that if you pray that Jesus living inside of you, you may want to go to. Maybe you go carry a little gift, an invitation to come to the children and choir drama that's coming up next Sunday night. Maybe it's a single mom or child that you just want to help with Christmas. But ultimately, it's a house, it's a home where Jesus wants you to go. He wants you to come to that house with the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's that house that you don't need to go to alone. Call me. Call a deacon. Call a Sunday school teacher. Call a choir member. Call your friend and go. I want to pause in this prayer and pray for a home that I can see in my eyes right now. And a lot of things are torn apart. It appears no one's even living there right now. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, maybe I should have gone back one more time. Maybe I should have tried one more time. So I pray for that family. But Lord, I pray that we'd have room for the lost in our hearts and lives. And Lord, Paul says in the book of Acts, he mentions that he was sharing the full counsel of God's word publicly and from house to house. Lord, let us be so thankful that you came, that you'll take us house to house. Lord, I pray for those that on our lost list, and those that were mentioned Wednesday that I read, those that are on hearts now. Lord, you are the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. You came, you gave us life, you've given us life abundantly, and we love you, and we want to share that gift every day with someone else. Help us, Lord. Now, maybe you've never opened Jesus as that gift. You never prayed that simple prayer, and I invite you to come. Let's open the Word of God and show you how the Bible says that you can be saved. And maybe you join me at the altar and say, gosh, preacher, I'm leaning 180 degrees away. I care about my lost friends and family and co-workers, and I care about the law. Lord, Lord, forgive us and send us out. Lord, forgive us and then send us out, Lord. And maybe you've just really got some physical needs, emotional needs, financial needs, work situations, and you just need to come to the altar today and you just need to lay it all down before him. And let him take care of it. Give it to him. Surrender it. Maybe you need to surrender your life or surrender what's going on and let him be the one that takes you through this. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done and you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.